Where have you been in the singing of the songs we've had this morning and in the singing of that last hymn we've just sung? Where have you been? Each of us have our own memories, our own desires, our own feelings. And sometimes something happens that brings a unity, that brings us all together. With our own backgrounds, we all say, and so will I. Reading from Ephesians, the Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20, if I can. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it fearlessly as I should. God will bless the reading of his holy word, because he always does. So we're continuing our series on what we believe. What do we believe about the armour of God? We're looking at the picture that Paul describes in the epistle to the Ephesians, which I've just read. Those of you who've been through Sunday club or Sunday school, if you're that old, youth work with the church, you may have been understood this story many times over. It may be that you've done colouring or cutouts or fuzzy felt or dressing up or even used aluminium foil to make yourself into a soldier. I'm glad we sang, "I've Got My God Suit On." It's just grand. So what have we got? We've got a belt, a breastplate, shoes, a shield, a helmet, and a sword. And these items have meaning, for we don't actually literally dress up as soldiers when we become Christians, unless possibly if we belong to the Salvation Army, or the girls' or boys' brigades. The meanings are allegorical, and Paul makes sure that we see in his writing what he means. The belt equals truth. Breastplate, righteousness. Shoes, two things here, readiness and the gospel of peace. Shield, faith. Helmet, salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Do you have anything of your own to offer? Yes, you do. Prayer and be alert. Excuse me. You have something to offer. Prayer and be alert. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. But there's an urgency to Paul's challenge. Be alert. Stand firm, take your stand. Why? because we're at war. We're at war. The passage we read starts with the words of Paul saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If we look briefly at the words of Paul in the earlier chapters of Ephesians, we find this. Chapter 1, in Christ we have redemption, God's supreme authority over all. Chapter 2, we're saved by grace from the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit at work in the disobedient. 3, unity of the Jews and Gentiles in Jesus and strengthened with power. Chapter 4, no longer infants, put off your old self. And chapter 5, wake up, live as children of light. If Christians, that is those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, are to be disciples, then we have to copy and imitate what Christ our Master is doing. And Jesus himself in Scripture says that he only does what the Father has shown him. You can read that in John's Gospel chapter 5. Jesus said, I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. That's an astounding statement. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. What an example for Christians to copy. How difficult that is for us. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. If we examine the life of Christ as described in the Gospels, can you see if Jesus wore the belt of truth? We can. Was he wearing the breastplate of righteousness? He was. Did he wear the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace? He did. Did he bear the shield of faith? Was he able to quench the flaming arrows of the devil? He did. And did he wear the helmet of salvation? Yes, he did. And did he wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We need to copy him. Imitate him. Be like him. We're often careless when we consider those who might come to believe in Jesus Christ, that once somebody has accepts Christ, then it's all over, as if the issue is settled. And in a sense, of course, it is. This is my tear-off calendar for Monday, the 21st of October. We're a word out of Luke's Gospel. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. And the comment is this: he saw us, he called us, and spoke words of divine power. We trusted in him, felt the touch of the Master's hand, and immediately the burden of sin rolled away. We were made straight, righteous before God, made new in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Victory is assured, but the fight is not yet over. We're in the kingdom of God, no doubt about it. Nothing can change that, not even Satan can change that. So what's the point of the armour? Jesus said to those who are following him, he calls them his sheep, "None can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." No one includes Satan. No one, no one, no one. As Paul says, finally, this is a war. And it's not a war against flesh and blood, although sometimes it looks just like that. You could always say, it always looks like that. Before his crucifixion, Jesus said of Satan, he has no hold on me. That's glorious. The image of a serving soldier assumes that the soldier has been given his armour or equipment by whomsoever he has given his or her allegiance. So if you've given your allegiance to Jesus Christ, this armour is yours. And of course, it has to be used. Somebody commanding an armour gives out armour. Somebody commanding an army and gives out armour would expect it to be used. You can see pictures in the television and the films where somebody says to a soldier, have you cleaned your rifle? When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. But we need to know our enemy and we need to know our weaknesses. We've heard over the last few weeks about enemies within and enemies without. I'm a man, I'm a human being. Hooray. I have flesh, my body. I have brain, my intellect. I have a soul, the real me. And I have a spirit made in the image of God. But my flesh and my mind are corrupt. I know that. Don't need anybody to tell me that. I know that. I see a pretty girl and I'm aware of a tension within me. I'm given discreet information and I'm tempted to share it to look good in front of somebody else, somebody in the know. I enjoy watching television. I have a weakness. If the television is on, I watch it. I'm visually orientated. I'm selfish and lazy. Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? There's some talk that possibly the illustration that Paul uses is because he's chained to a soldier. And you can see the uniform the soldier's wearing. In some cases, it's said that prisoners were chained to somebody who was already dead. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I'm not ashamed to tell you these things because you have your own weaknesses. I know you do. Because you also have body, mind, soul, and spirit. And I think the corrupt side of me won't lie down and die until I die. Until then, I have to fight. Until then, I have to fight. And there's a great passage in C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce, about the death of the corrupt self, which then is resurrected as something wholesome and beautiful. It's a fantastic book. So is the armour of good any good against inward weaknesses? Yes, it is. Notice how the first two items are held in place. The belt is buckled round your waist. It's not put on or taken off when you feel like it. It's buckled round your waist. It's central, like a toolbox, like a foundation. The breastplate is in place. It gives identity, numbered in the Lord's army, protects your heart and your life. Also the helmet of salvation. Know that Christ has died for you and your sins are forgiven forever, forever and forever. It protects, this helmet protects your mind and your understanding. Pray continually. Recognize your weaknesses. Fight the battle. Don't accept defeat. Take your stand. Paul's illustration from his own life depicts some of the outside enemies that we are facing. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 to 11. We do not want you to understand, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Sometimes life is just horrible. And we all go through it. And we ask God, does it have to be like this? And the answer seems to be, yes, it does have to be like this. It may be that you're called to suffer attack because you're a Christian. Around the world, millions of people are suffering attack because they're Christians. Paul says that the enemy is not people, although it looks like that. It's not people. It's the power behind that control the people. Should we be afraid? No. We should put our armour on. The shoes, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, goodwill to all men. God's attitude, goodwill towards men. The readiness that comes. And the shield of faith to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Here are some illustrations from the Gospels. Jesus says not to worry, but seek first the kingdom of God. Fishermen, thinking they're drowning, are told, where's your faith? Peter asked to walk on the water to come to Jesus Christ, and he says, come. And Mary and Martha weep over dead Lazarus, their brother, and are told, I am the Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. But having said that, to Martha he said, do you believe this? Do you believe this? As we read Christian testimony in our own generation, we find the same Jesus saying the same things to people. Believe in me, even in the mouth of hell. Believe in me. Twice Paul says, put on the armour of God and also take up the shield of faith. And this is our response to Jesus Christ. Stand firm. So what does it mean to put on the armour of God? How do you do it? The belt around the waist. Base your life on truth. Always buckled. Accept God's opinion of you. In Christ Jesus, you are righteous. Even though you despair of your own actions sometimes, your own thoughts and actions, God thinks you're righteous because of Jesus Christ. Make God's word second nature. Be ready to share the gospel of peace. The shoes have to be fitted. It says in the text they have to be fitted. Know when to speak and when to pray and be ready to speak. Get used to believing that God will give you words to say and by his Holy Spirit convict and convince those who hear you. Convict and convince those who hear you. That's what God said the Holy Spirit would do. Convict and convince those who hear him. Even when they turn away or hurt you. These items in the armour of God are all yours in Christ Jesus. Truth, righteousness, gospel, salvation, faith, God's word and his Spirit. Repeat that. Truth, righteousness, gospel, salvation, faith, God's word and his Spirit. They're all mine. Would you like to say with me, these are all mine. These are all mine. Participation is important. These are all mine. In Jesus Christ, these are all mine. Truth, righteousness, gospel, salvation, faith, God's word and his Spirit. They're all mine. Do you feel a fraud? Do you feel a failure? We all do. Satan whispers in my ear, why are you preaching? You're no good at it. He does. Quite hard. But the Holy Spirit says, even if it's no good, I will use it. We're human beings, and we are beset by weaknesses. I want you to look at this, the disciples, the life of the disciples. Firstly, Jesus called his disciples. Secondly, they forsook their old life and followed him. Thirdly, they saw him doing wonderful, marvellous miracles, including raising the dead and teaching. Fourthly, they got involved in the work. They did what he said. They were part of a team. Fifthly, they saw conflict with the authorities. Sixthly, they saw Jesus condemned. Seventhly, they saw him die on a cross. Eighth, they heard of his resurrection. Ninth, they met the living, risen Christ and knew that it was him. Tenth, they saw him ascend into heaven. 11, they hid. I like that because if I want to follow Jesus Christ, I'm in good company. But they were obedient to Jesus. They stayed in Jerusalem. And then something happened. The Holy Spirit comes. The thing that was missing was that Jesus wasn't with them anymore. And Jesus had said, I will send you. I will send you. Then when the Holy Spirit came, they exploded into the whole world. And our church today is part of the family of God, which is the result of the disciples exploding at Pentecost and all that happened after that. We too are released from fear and failure by the presence of God's Spirit. Pray continually. Come, Holy Spirit, and make us more like Jesus. Defeat our failure. Show us how to use the army you've given us to stand on truth, to recognize our righteousness, to see that we have a helmet of salvation, to recognize what God's opinion is, to see that we can quench the shadow, the arrows, flaming arrows of the devil, to be ready to give the gospel of peace, and to fight with the sword. The series we're doing is, do you believe in this and that and the other? Do you believe in the armour of God? Do you believe in it? Is it just a story? Or is it for you? If it's you, put it on. Take your stand with Jesus Christ. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. It's all done. May God our Father find you alert, standing at a post. May God bless you.